Hallelujah. Amen. Imagine what it'll be like one day to sing to the one that's seated at the... Blah, 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 blah. We will be around the throne, and we will sing to the one that's seated in that throne. Amen. We might as well start tonight. Amen. We're worshiping the same one now that we will worship then. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Hallelujah. Nice to be back together once again. A couple of quick things. So, as we mentioned before, Brother Park's mother passing on to her reward, going to the other side, and we, you know, it's certainly hard on those of us that are left behind, even though we know it's coming. You know, my dad passed 8 years ago, my mom passed 7 years ago, and Brother Lumpke's dad just passed, Sister Susan's mom just passed, and many, we could just go on and on and on, and if the Lord tarries, that pattern will continue on, right? But it, nevertheless, it's leaves a heaviness with us, even though it's bittersweet, because you're rejoicing because they're not suffering. They went on to be with the Lord. But it leaves a hole on this side. And so we just want to encourage everybody to hold on to the positive memories and realize that had you have never known them, what would your life be like? Right? But each of us has an appointed time, and when our time comes, we know that we trust the Lord, and we know that at the appointed time, He'll take us home. Now, I will never forget seeing Sister Shirley the Baptist, which I was a Baptist at one time. I still am. I'm a Baptist as far as they go with the word, right? But I remember seeing her down at an altar for the first time. And she was a mess. And there just snot everywhere. And then she tried to explain what took place, and I couldn't understand a word she said. But we knew that she was rejoicing. And that's the Sister Shirley that I'm going to see again one day. And so we certainly are looking forward to that, Brother Doug. And we have that promise. And we'll hold on to it. Also, we have a visiting minister that's going to be with us this weekend, pastor from New York City, Brother Robert Marrero. So we ask that you come and support the visiting minister, and we look forward to what the Lord has for us. On Monday, I did a rare thing. I had an early morning appointment that I couldn't avoid, that I couldn't make for other days of the week, so I had to get up early on Monday and go out into public. And then Sister Baker said, well, you know, why don't we go out to eat somewhere? We haven't done that in a long time. And so we did. We went to the Maha Cafe over here on Broadway near Kolb. And we ran into some brothers from Tucson Tabernacle and from Ted Pasedley's church previously. And a pastor and his wife that were from Matamoros, Mexico, which is on the other side of the Rio Grande from Brownsville, Texas, which it's right where the Rio Grande dumps into the Gulf of Mexico. And anyway, they have a rather large church, and we got to have fellowship and he's invited us to come his way, if the Lord tarries, to come out and minister. And then we found out that we had a lot of mutual friends from over the years. But the most outstanding thing was I met a young man there that used to work for me at Raytheon. And he was a message believer at that time. and I didn't know. And he didn't know that I was until shortly before I left Raytheon. And he said I was a message believer, not a very good one, but I was a message believer. So anyway, after 14 years or 15 years of not seeing one another to run into one another, that was nice. He worked with Brother Joel on many projects for Brother Joel. And small world in one sense. No coincidences, because, it's a rare, rare, rare thing for me to get out like that on Monday. If I do, I bring my wife with me to protect me, which she faithfully does. But anyway. And then also, we do have the flyer up for what will be our 30th anniversary meetings this year, March or February 28th through March 3rd. And Lord willing, we're going to try to put together a little something to kind of show little snapshots from over the past 30 years. Of, when I used to have dark hair just where the Lord has brought us over the last 30 years. And we trust if the Lord would tarry that we'll have more good years. I'd like to read from Acts, the 4th chapter, here tonight, and we'll start at the 29th verse. Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. So this is the church of the living God in action. They've only been in action a short period of time, and they're already facing opposition. They're already facing persecution. And they're facing, it's coming on pretty strong and pretty hard. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants, so these are the apostles that Jesus had set into place to bring this church into action. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Is it okay to pray that way? Lord, manifest your word.
Amen.
Let it be known amongst us.
Amen.
May we speak it boldly, and may you vindicate it. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. That must have been some prayer meeting. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Strange thing is, they were already filled with the Holy Ghost. So this must be something above and beyond, right? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So the first time they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they spake with other tongues. This time they're filled with the Holy Ghost, and they speak the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed, so many believed, were of one heart and of one soul. Wow, really? It could happen that quickly? The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. What kind of a church was this? They were of different nations, different cultures, different races, different backgrounds. But all of a sudden, they have all things in common. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. We want to title this, That They May Be One. This will be part 10 in our series this evening. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come together for the midweek service tonight, Lord, we thank you for all that's been done so far. And we just want to express our love and our appreciation, Lord, for all that you've done already, and and for what you're going to do, Lord. And we don't want to leave this building without worshiping you, Lord. And also, Lord, without making our requests known. If we have a need, we want to make it known with an uplifted hand tonight, Lord, and with one of our hands. And then, Lord, if we believe that you're going to provide for that need, we'll lift the other hand, Lord, and surrender to you. I pray, Lord, that you bless each and every one that's gathered here tonight for this midweek service. And Father, that you'd minister to us the portion of the word that we have need of. And Father, that you would vindicate your word in our midst once again. Lord, may the word come forth with boldness, and may your word be manifested in our lives. We didn't come for to be tickled. We didn't come to hear new thoughts or new ideas that are outside of your word, but we came, Lord, for the portion that you've prepared for us from before the foundation of the world. I pray that you bless each and every one, encourage each and every one, Lord. Those that are listening in, may you bless them, Lord, those that will listen in. And Father, we surely give you all praise and honor and glory. Forgive us of our mistakes, Lord, our sins, our slowness of heart. And Father, as we come before your throne, may we come, Lord, with confidence tonight and with great boldness. We love you and we thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. And Brother Eli, you've earned the right to stand wherever you want to. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we've been looking for several services now, so this would be the 10th installment, I guess. Ooh, boy, that was a little noisy. We've been looking at the oneness that Jesus had prayed for to be in the body of Christ that would be upon the earth through up to the time of his second coming, or the second coming of Jesus Christ. And as we've been looking at these things, we've seen the power that is there when there's unity. And we've seen that Satan himself, he knows this. And Satan takes advantage of the many benefits that result from being in one mind and being in one accord and having one purpose. And the power that's present when we all have the same motive, the same vision, when we have the same spirit giving the same life, when we come forward with a common purpose and common goal, there's a power that results from that. And we know that Satan can't do anything but work with the things that God has already made. And so he knows this. And so he has to work within the laws of God. But the way that Satan operates is that he does so by twisting the intended purposes of God's ways so that God's will is not the will that's being served, but Satan's will instead. And so Satan has long known the power that exists when there is unity, and he has repeatedly taken advantage of this law of God to further his own purposes. But if Satan's kingdom can benefit by working according to God's principles, according to God's laws, then how much more can the kingdom of God benefit tonight, friends, when those laws are operated for their intended purposes? So in our text this evening, the apostles, they were united together by one spirit with one purpose, the further establishment of the kingdom of heaven upon the earth. Jesus said he came to destroy the works of the devil and to usher in a new kingdom. And so the apostles are doing just that very thing. They were filled with the Holy Ghost already. They'd had a Pentecost, and they had a ministry already, and they were preaching the gospel, and they were having success. They were establishing churches according to the great commission that Jesus had given to his church. And they were facing fierce opposition from those that were anointed of religious spirits that were trying to stamp out, they were trying to crush this new move of God that was spreading like wildfire. And so they were physically disrupting meetings, and they were threatening to do this. They don't tell us exactly what here, but they were threatening to do worse than that to try and stop these apostles of Jesus Christ from preaching the gospel. And notice, the unity and the oneness that Jesus prayed for was not
that we all get together and compromise on what we believe such that we can draw all men to the same movement, some kind of wishy-washy, backwash kind of a movement, right? That's not the oneness that he prayed for. It was that true oneness would exist among those, all of those that died out to themselves, died out to their old sin nature, and had truly repented and had been baptized in his name. By one Spirit are we baptized into one body, and were baptized by that one Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, into one body, where the Holy Spirit of God would then have the preeminence. That's the body that he prayed for oneness to exist in. And so when they first met this fierce opposition, which was the result of evil spirits partnering with fallen men for one purpose, and that purpose was to destroy, or to try to destroy the works of God, to try to keep this kingdom from coming into being, to try to keep the sinner captive, to see that the captive was not set free. Notice that the apostles, they didn't pray for wisdom in how to convince those that were opposing them and thereby win them over. Now, that may still be the result for some that were among this mob and that perhaps were caught up by this anointing that was in this mob, which people can get caught up in things sometimes. But though the apostles were already filled with the Holy Ghost, they prayed for the Holy Spirit to anoint them with boldness to speak the word of the Lord, to not have to back up, to not have to apologize, to not have to, you know, to just preach the word, right? And they prayed for the Holy Spirit to then vindicate the word of the Lord with signs and wonders and healings. And how many knows that he still does that? If the true word is preached and it's anointed, it'll produce those very same things. This would establish the kingdom among the new hearers of the word, and it would catch the sinner, and it would bring the sinner to a spirit of repentance. And that sinner that was coming to repentance wouldn't complain that you were pointing out all the things they needed to repent of. They'd repent with a broken and contrite spirit, and then God would no longer resist them, but would come and fill them with His Spirit. And if there were any of the misguided ones that could be turned around and brought to their senses and repent of trying to fight against this move, as Saul did at one time, those that opposed them by evil and antichrist spirits that possessed them and united them together, they would be brought to repentance, and the door to the kingdom would be open to them the same as it is to all others. So it's through, what I want you to take from this tonight is that it's through the bold preaching of the word, it's through the power that vindicated that word by bringing it to pass that would catch the sinner, would bring the sinner to repentance. Seminars, they might change people's minds. But only the preaching of the word in boldness and only the preaching of the word in power can change and turn the heart. One might turn the mind, one might turn the spirit, one might influence the natural senses, but only the word preached in its pure form in boldness and power can turn the heart. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Oh, I'd like to have a prayer meeting like that, wouldn't you? And they were all filled, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of these things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Wow, that's supernatural. The oneness that Jesus desired for his body to possess was becoming evident after those that heard the word that was preached in boldness believed and were then filled with that very same spirit. So much so that they began to walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh, as Paul commanded us to do. Because it's the flesh that dotes over, well, this is mine and that is yours, and you stay on that side of the room and I'll stay on this side of the room, and leave mine alone and I'll leave yours alone, and here's what I want out of life and here's what you want out of life. They were in one mind, one accord, one spirit, and because of that, they had all things in common. There are people that that won't trust you with their finances. They won't trust you with their soul. But these had come and they repented, and they said, "You know, my heart's been turned by the preaching of the word. I'm a new creature. I now have the very same spirit that the rest of you have. I trust this very one that I surrendered to, that I've been born again of. I trust that one to guide us and to lead us. I trust him to lead me, to guide me. And I trust that one to guide the apostles. I trust that one to guide the pastor. I trust that one to work through the deacons. I trust that one to work through the church." Amen. So they trusted the very same Holy Spirit that filled them to work through the body and to guide the apostles to see that their possessions were distributed according to the needs of the body. What a wonderful thing, huh? Now, friends, the only way for this to take place in the body is for that body to be filled by the very same Spirit and to be fed on the very same anointed word made power. Because it's the Spirit that's going to bring this oneness. It's the Spirit that's going to bring the unity of purpose by the Word into the body. It's the Spirit that will bring the mind of Christ into the body. Were these people all of the same race? Absolutely not. Were they of the same background? Absolutely not. Did they have the same physical likes and dislikes? Absolutely not. Were there still differences that would be some that would be ironed out by the Holy Spirit as they walk with God in their individual walks? Absolutely. Were there differences that would never be ironed out? Absolutely. But the word preached in boldness by God's agents of the body of Christ that were anointed of the Holy Ghost, that living word preached produced oneness. It produced oneness in those that believed, repented, and we're filled with that very same Spirit. And that's the oneness that we're looking for. That's the oneness that Jesus prayed for. And that's the oneness that will exist in His body. It's a little quiet here tonight, but I'm going to preach anyway. That's how this whole thing started at Pentecost. And that's how this body will be completed and usher in the coming of the second coming of the Lord here in the end time. It'll be the very same way. We know that there's power in unity. As we've looked at this, like I said, this is our 10th installment on this thought. We know that there's power in unity, and we find that this power is on display when it's brought to the body according to God's provided way. If you do things according to God's provided way, you will see the word lived out in front of you. It was God giving birth to His bride. It was God giving birth to His church. And we see her on display right away, even in her infancy, we see her on display. But what I want you to notice here tonight is just as soon as the Spirit of Christ gave birth to His bride, the spirit of Antichrist immediately rose up and began to move where? Among the people. And one of the first things that the spirit of Antichrist will rise up against is the bold preaching of the word. The bold preaching of the word by men that are anointed of the Holy Ghost to preach it in power and in demonstration of the Holy Ghost. That's the very first thing that those spirits will rise up against. They will draw these men, when they preach the word, they will draw the anger of these evil spirits who will try to shut their mouths, will try to keep them from preaching the gospel, because, listen, they know that the word preached in power will set the captive free. And they will lose them. They'll no longer be bound. They'll no longer be within their clutches. They'll no longer be sick. They'll no longer be depressed. They'll no longer be lost. They'll no longer be completely out of control. Amen. They'll know the love of God. And that scares those evil spirits. It scares them to death. So their purpose in coming to church, these demons, their purpose in coming to church is to try to keep the church from coming into its power. Amen. And they will especially attack God's ministers when they preach against sin. I want you to think about that. If we don't preach against sin, you can't repent. And we have no idea what you need to repent of. But if you don't repent, you will not be forgiven. And if you don't repent, you can't be filled with the Holy Ghost. So these demons, they will especially attack God's ministers when they preach against sin, because the elect seed of God will be convicted of their sin, and they will repent. And they will say, men and brethren, what should we do? Imagine that on the day of Pentecost. All those people had to sit through Peter anointed of the Holy Ghost, telling them, you crucified the Lord of glory. You did this and you did that. You were stiff-necked and uncircumcised, and you always did resist the Holy Ghost. I mean, he just laid it out, and they were pricked in their hearts. And those that were pricked in their hearts said, what must we do? And Peter, who had the keys to the kingdom, he said, repent. Repent. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How many believes that God still works that way? Of course he does. Amen. The devil doesn't want me to preach tonight, but I'm going to preach. So those evil and wicked Antichrist spirits will anoint people to try to shut the mouths of God's servants, to try to keep them from preaching the gospel, and to try to keep it from being vindicated with power and demonstration. But the truly repentant and the truly born-again soul, listen to this, the truly repentant and the truly born-again soul will never fight against the word being preached in boldness and power. Come on, friends. Don't let a devil lie to you. Don't let a devil whisper into your ear. God didn't send you to church to correct the church. God sent you to church so that you would get corrected. From the pulpit to the back door. Those that are born again of the Spirit of God, they love it. They love it when the word comes forth. They love it when conviction comes. Because they realize without conviction, they could never get right. They realize it's the tender hand of Jehovah. Because if God didn't show us what was wrong, we couldn't get right. We'd still be lost. We'd still be undone. We would still not be able to find the door. So we zealously repent. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The sons and daughters of God, those that were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, those that he died for, they are like a thoroughbred horse. You can preach to a thoroughbred horse all day long. But the hybrid mule is a different creature altogether. The hybrid mule doesn't know who its mama is, doesn't know who its papa is, and they're just waiting to kick you. And they're just waiting to run back into the barn. In fact, they don't even know themselves what they're going to do next. Because there's a very friends, that nature that we were born with is very unpredictable. We were all that way, Paul said. All of us were as others. Dead while we yet lived. You see, you can't tell a hybrid mule what to do all the time, because they are unpredictable. There are times when they'll receive it. There are times when they won't. And the same thing goes for a hybrid church member that has never cried, Abba, Father. If you've cried, Abba, Father, you realize I came from you. You are my Father. Amen. And you're giving all good things. Everything you're doing is for my good. Everything you're doing is, you paid the ultimate price so that I could come back to you. You gave your own life so that I could come back to you. Now everything you're doing is to draw me back to you. And I love you for it, Father. Amen. So the hybrid mule, they don't know what they're going to do all the time. They surprise themselves at times. And that's because there are only two spirits that work within the church. And one of them is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will unite us with the Word. So if you have a problem with the Word, there's another spirit that's working there. Right? It doesn't mean that you can't get right and get the right spirit. But if you have a problem, if the Word coming forth offends you, blessed is he that's not offended. If the Word offends you, then there's another spirit that's laying there that is resisting the Word. And the church says,
amen.
Listen to this from Thirsting for Life. The congregation voting for their pastor would take some little slicker instead of some man that was really an old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone preacher. They'd handle the gospel with his bare hands instead of Hollywood gloves on. The world's full of Hollywood evangelism. We don't need that in Pentecost. Let that go out where it belongs. We want the old-fashioned kind, the kind that knows the truth, the kind that lays the axe to the root of the tree and lets the chips fall wherever they want to. That's right. Back to the gospel, brother. I'd rather be in a crowd that'd go to meet Jesus with five of those than 100,000 otherwise. I'd have to agree with them on that. Different. The honesty and purity of the soul and the heart in the presence of God. We'd rather be in one mind and one accord with five than to have a great big crowd of confusion. God's not the author of confusion. Again, he says, so we find out that in every revival that's ever been born in the world, it produces twins. That's right. Every revival has twins. They have a bunch in there that's carnal believers and a bunch of spiritual believers. Every revival produces that, an Esau and a Jacob. Friends, we didn't write the script. It's just how it is, right? And as they go along, the first thing you know, the carnal begins to think, well, these guys are getting off the deep end. I better separate myself from them. And so they go back to the intellectual part. They want a pastor that'll speak to them of pleasant things. And we will speak of pleasant things. They don't want the pastor, the spirit-filled pastor, that'll obey the Holy Spirit from the platform. Just preach the word just like it is. As John said, lay the axe to the root of the tree and let the chips fall wherever it will. Most of the church today will vote that out of their pulpit. That's right. It'll come a separation. It always does that. It did it in the Methodist age. It did it in the Baptist age. It did it in Pentecostal age. It'll do it in every age. So will it do it today? Of course. Again, this is from the Smyrnian church age. Having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this is the sort that goes from house to house and leads silly women led away with diverse lusts, never able to learn or ever to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's exactly right, he says. There you are, ladies' aid society. This society and that. The poor church has got so many societies that it can't even preach the gospel no more. Pastor can't have but 20 minutes. And he has to talk about something else then, see? If they don't, the deacon board will meet him. Yes, sir? Yeah, the deacon board will tell him what he can preach, what he can't preach, how long he's going to preach, how to preach. He says, oh, brother, what does a good pastor have to do today? Just do the best he can to stand out and cut the limbs wherever they want to and let the chips fall in wherever they want to and sling it out there. I've got a sling. I'll bring it out here. I was given a sling, one of David's slings, one that was modeled after David's sling. It's a smaller one, but we'll bring it out to kind of do a little demonstration. No, we won't demonstrate it. But it's interesting. It's interesting. He says, cut the limbs where they want to, let the chips fall in wherever they want to, and sling it out there. That's all. Yes, sir. That's right. Don't spare nobody. Somebody say nobody. Nobody. Listen, friends, I doubt that there's a single person in this room tonight that wants to be spared. You've all come for the same reason. None of you are saying, well, take it easy on me. You know, if I need to get right, don't tell me. Right? No, you want to know. I can't tell you how many times people have said, you know, I see that you got a little something working in your life and I've seen it operate. So, you know, if there's anything at all in my life, I want you to tell me. You know how many times that's actually true? First of all, you already know what's wrong. Nobody has to tell you. You don't need somebody to come and walk through your life. If you're serving the Lord and you're seeking the Lord, the Holy Spirit will bring conviction into your life. Right? I've had people that are leaving the church and they've risen above the pastor and they've told me that, well, because you don't believe this or that and rapture's going to take place in September and you don't see that. And so, you know, we got to leave the church because we got to go to the Smithsonian first and a few other things that we want to do before the rapture happens. But we can't stay here any longer because, you know, we've kind of risen above you. But by the way, is there anything you see in my life? What's wrong with this picture? And my answer was, yeah, there's a spirit that is enticing. There's an enticing spirit that's trying to pull you away from the body, right? Oh, no. No, there isn't. Well, then why'd you ask? Tell me, because I have confidence in you until I don't. Many times they got a board there. If the pastor would happen to hit a little wire that was I jumped ahead. Let me back up. Brother, what's a good pastor have to do today? Just do the best he can to stand out and cut the limbs where they want to. Let the chips fall in wherever they want to and sling it out there. That's all. Yes, sir. That's right. Don't spare nobody. That means don't spare your wife. Don't spare your children. If you're wrong, don't spare yourself. Don't spare your friends. Right? Don't spare nobody. Somebody say nobody. Just preach the word and stay right with it. Just hammer. Well, that don't sound too nice. Just hammer right on away. You ever heard anybody repent when with soft preaching? You ever heard a sinner coming to the Lord? Well, you know, none of us are perfect, and none of us are this, and none of us are that. And, you know, if I was you, I'd probably, you know, pray and ask God to forgive, but you know, you don't really have to do that. And no, you need the gloves taken off, and you need it preached the way it's written. Because if you'll preach it the way that it's written, with the spirit that it was given with, it'll produce. Don't spare nobody. Just preach the word. Stay right with it. Just hammer right on away. If they throw you in jail, well, why would they do that? Because somebody got mad. If they throw you in jail, preach it in jail. If you're put away anywhere else, preach everywhere you go. Just keep on going, preaching. That's right. Now that's what happened. See, they're smothering it out, he said. Once again, you know, I'm always sensitive to these kind of things. I look for the Lord in every service and every part of the service. Every time we come together, it's a body ministry. It's a body move. And the prayer that went forth with the musicians and song leaders and translators and so on and so forth is, God, bring the boldness. And let there be an atmosphere that's be created amongst us. Right? So here's the boldness part. We'll get to the atmosphere part here in a moment. But just showing that it's the Holy Spirit that's... Yeah, we need encouragement sometimes. We need encouragement to, Lord, I know that you put this on my heart, but thank you for showing me out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. He says many times, they got a board there. If the pastor would happen to hit a little wire that was kind of a little contrary or say something about it, that board would have him up. His name would go up to the headquarters and he would be excommunicated. So you see, it becomes a meal ticket instead of anointed servant to preach the gospel. See, that's right. It becomes a thing that they want. It's a meal ticket. In other words, you're being supported, but you're not preaching the gospel, because if you did, you wouldn't be supported. So to be supported, you preach everything but the gospel. In other words, you go through the church and you look at everybody and think, okay, this person has done this, this person has done that. Maybe they've repented, maybe they haven't, but I better just avoid that, because if I preach on that, I'm going to lose my meal ticket. That's right. It becomes a thing that they want to. It's a meal ticket. They've got to stay there, get good pay. He says, listen, brother, God have mercy upon a man that would sell his birthright for that. Amen. And the church says, do you want the power of God to come through the church and heal you when you need healing? Yes. Do you want the power of God to come through the church to deliver you when you need deliverance? Yes. Do you want the power of God to come to the church to catch the sinner? Yes. Well, then the word has to be preached. Yes. Just the way that it's written. Yes. We need a man that will handle the gospel barehanded. Not with any kind of a denominational glove on. There are people that if Brother Branham was preaching from this pulpit tonight and they were sitting here, they'd leave the church. Because I'll tell you what, he preached a lot harder than I do. Right? He preached some things where I go, whoa. Right? It's absolutely the truth. We need a man that will handle the gospel barehanded. Not with any kind of a denominational glove on. Just lay it out. Lay it out there the way that it's wrote. And let the chips fall wherever they want to. If the shoe fits, Mama used to say, wear it. So I'm going to say the same thing tonight. If the shoe fits, wear it. If you don't like the fact that it fits, then change. But don't get mad at me because the shoe fits your foot. It don't fit my foot. Mama said, used to say, wear it. Said, don't trim your corn. Now, so we have those things that we ought to be listening to, he says. Listening to Mama, he says. This is just good old-fashioned backwoods folk wisdom, right? That was taught with a hickory stick. Spiritual amnesia. And that puts me in mind of a lot of so-called hybrid Christians, he says. They've hybrid the church until they got the disease of spiritual amnesia. They can't reproduce nothing again. They talk about hybrid corn. Hybrid corn is nothing. It's the worst thing you could ever put in your mouth, anything that's hybrid. That's the reason you have to take these little hotbed plants and hybrid stuff and spray it, and doctor it, and baby it. In other words, you can't just preach the word. You got to be real careful. You got to baby, spray it, doctor it, baby it. Why? Because they can't keep the bugs off of it. But a genuine thoroughbred, you don't have to put no disinfectant on him. He's got power within himself to keep the bugs off of him. That's what it takes to keep the bugs of unbelief off of a real, genuine, spirited man. Take an old mule and you go to talk to him and say, "Say, boy, I want you to do this or that." He'll sit there and go, "Hum, hum, hum." Them big old ears working up and down. He says, "I've seen a lot of Christians about like that, so-called." You say, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. These signs shall follow them that believe." Ho, I believe the days of miracles is past. Ho, ho, ho. See, he don't know what he does believe. He don't know nothing. He don't know where he come from. He don't know where he's going. He's got horse amnesia. He don't know where he come from. He can't go no further. But like a genuine thoroughbred, oh, he's gentle. You can talk to him. He knows who his papa was, who his mama was, who his grandpa and grandma was. He's got pedigreed papers to show where he come from. And like a pedigreed Christian that can go all the way back to the Word of God, to the day of Pentecost, and identify themselves there with the saints, where the power of the Holy Ghost came upon them, that's a pedigreed Christian. He knows where he come from. He's not identified with the Methodist, Baptist, or nothing else. He's identified in God's Word. He knows exactly where he's standing at. The royal blood of his Father flows through him, the blood of Jesus Christ. He knows what it does. He believes every word. God works through him and confirms it with signs that he promised to follow. He hasn't got no spiritual amnesia. He's got a genuine thoroughbred. I like that, he says. And the church says, friends, you have to be born this way. Right? It all starts with a birth. Again, he says, I remember at Tulsa, Oklahoma. Oh, I was getting in an awful mess there. Them denominations begin swinging around there. And I was sitting in this building one day and I seen a vision of a pretty little old kitten. And he was laying on a silk pillow, and he was the cutest little fella. Who doesn't like a little kitten, right? And I went over and I began to rake him, and he was going purr, purr. You know how they do, that funny noise, you know? And I was raking him, and I said, pretty little kitty. And he said, purr, just as fine, you know? And I looked over behind his pillow, and I said, Pentecostal kitten. Well, I thought, now, isn't that strange? And I said, this has got to be a vision. And something said, as long as you rake his fur this way, all right. But now, if you want to see what he's made out of, rake his fur backwards. See? So when I raked his fur back, them eyes stuck out green, and he was a monster standing there spitting at me as hard as he could. Just rake his fur back a little bit. I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you preached that. Don't you know who I am? Unfortunately, you don't know who you are. If you're a child of God, he won't spare you. If you're a child of God, he'll correct you. And you'll thank him for it. Come on, friends. You preach the word by the Holy Ghost in power, and it will follow with signs and wonders and healings and deliverance. I challenge anybody here tonight to take God at his word. You preach it. You preach it the way that it's written. You preach it as God puts it on your heart. You preach it with the anointing that God anoints his servants with. You preach it, he'll produce it. How many knows that? Friends, we don't want to fake religion here. We don't want something that's just going to make people feel good. Right? It will make you feel good after it takes all the barnacles off of you. Right? It will make you feel good when it sets you free from things. But that's what we want. You preach it by the Holy Ghost in power, and it will be followed with signs and wonders. And deliverance and healing. And it will convict the sinner. The sinner will thank you. The sinner will bawl their eyes out. The sinner will come down to the altar, stay there after the service is over, won't be the first one out the door. The sinner will come crying and say, I'm so thankful to hear that word. I'm so thankful to know that there's a better way. It'll convict the sinner. It'll bring the sinner to repentance and to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it will add to the body of Christ those who are ordained to life. and it will bring the oneness that Jesus prayed for in his body that's here on the earth. Those of you that have your arms folded, well, whether you have your arms folded or not, you can have your arms folded and you're still with me. You can have your arms folded and you're pulling against. So I don't want to give anybody a complex here tonight. But if you're pulling against, I ask you tonight, why are you here? What did you come to hear? Here, kitty, 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 sweet little kitty, here. You want some milk? The rest of them want some meat here. They want the meat of the word. They want to see that devil chased out of the building. They want the devil running out of their life. They want to be delivered from themselves. They want to be able to get along with their husband, get along with their wife, get along with their children, get along with the church. They want to be delivered. They want to be set free. They want to know who their papa is. They want to know what their point of origin is. They need healing tonight. There's genuine needs in the body. Genuine needs. If we can just get together in one mind and one accord, those needs will be met. They'll be met in this body tonight. You know where the hardest place it is for me to preach? Right here in America. I can go anywhere else and see God move right away. Here in America, I spend most of my time dealing with spirits, trying to drive spirits away. And there comes a point where you just got to take the gloves off. There comes a point where you got to say, you know what, God, it's up to you. I'm going to preach the word, and your word is going to produce. Right? I'm not here for psychology. I'm not here to make people feel good. I'm here to preach the word, and the word will set you free. Come on. Can you imagine a church where the people tell the preacher what to preach? Is that the kind of church that you want to go to? It's crazy, isn't it? So if you preach it the way that it's written, without regard to friend or favor, it'll convict the sinner. It'll bring the sinner to repentance. It'll bring that sinner to the place where they can receive the Holy Ghost after they die out to themselves and repent. It will add to the body of Christ those that are ordained to life. Right? Oh, it'll definitely upset some spirits. You know, if there aren't spirits that are getting upset, then we're not preaching the truth. Because wherever the truth is being preached, demons are going to show up. But wherever the Spirit of Christ is moving, you're going to find the spirit of Antichrist. It's a law, friends. Did you know that the Catholic Church was born on the same day as the Church of the Living God? Satan saw that God was giving birth to a church and that God was building a body that he could then dwell in and that he could then work through that would have the mind of Christ, that would continue the works that were done through the bridegroom. And so Satan didn't waste any time at all just standing around and watching this as it began to take form. He saw that the same works were being done in the bridegroom were now being done in this new body called the Church of Jesus Christ that was born of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. You see, it wasn't enough for Satan to just try to stamp out this new body on the earth, which of course he's failed to do and he will fail to do. Satan had to design his own bride. And then he had to claim that she was the true bride of Christ. And then work through her to go against the true bride and to persecute the true bride. Like the parable of the sower that Jesus tells us about, where a sower went forth to sow, and then not long afterwards there was a dark hooded fellow that came, followed after with his own seed, and he went to the same field, and a field is a type of the church, went to the very same field where the word was sown, and he came to sow his seed, the seed of discrepancy. Is that right? And Jesus said that these two are going to come to a harvest. He said, let them grow until the time of the end. But then the tares will be bound together to be burned, but the grain will be gathered together to take into the garner, take up into a rapture. So we've been promised that this is what would take place. But we're living here in Laodicea, and we're living here in a time where nobody wants, you know, in Laodicea, lukewarm Laodicea, the lukewarm believer doesn't want to be told that they're not living right. The lukewarm Laodicean believer doesn't want to hear the words repent. The lukewarm Laodicean wants lukewarm preaching. But the true believer says, let the axe be laid to the root of the tree. Let the chips fall wherever they're at. Come on, friends. If that bothers you, get on your knees. Because it shouldn't bother you. Satan knows that there's power in unity. If a husband and a wife are united in the home, there's nothing that can come against that home. There's nothing, they'll face challenges, but there's nothing that will break up that home. There's nothing that will destroy that home, because that home is unified. There's power in unity. But if they don't have that unity in their heart, it doesn't matter how, friends, it doesn't matter how sincere we are. It doesn't matter how hard we try to do that which is right. If we don't have that unity in the heart, the devil will defeat you. And the devil, and you will be powerless against him. How many knows that's true? So it's no wonder that Satan always, always comes back to the very same and simple thing. He's no dummy. He's not going to come to the church here tonight and say, I don't believe there's a God. He's not going to have the preacher preach that. Nobody's going to fall for that. Right? But if he can just break up unity inside the family, unity inside the church, unity on the job site, unity among the peoples of the nation, well then, they're powerless. He knows that without unity, there's no power. Do we know that tonight? What do we want more than anything? Unity. Well, I don't know about that. We could have stayed home tonight and streamed the service, but instead you came to church. Is that right? Now, if you would have stayed home just because you didn't feel like coming to church tonight, you'd still be a Christian. You would be disobeying God's word, but you'd still be a Christian. Now, if that bothers you, you got a problem. If I said that and that bothers you, that's the word. Well, who are you to tell me? I'm not telling you nothing. The word is. Why do you think I come to church? Because the word says so. And when a person stays away from church out of disobedience, they will not get the same thing out of the service that they would have if they stay home and stream. They won't get the same thing that they would have if they'd have come to the house of the Lord. Friends, I'm not wearing any gloves tonight, and I don't apologize for it. Amen. Truth is truth. And the reason is that the same atmosphere does not exist at the same level where there are one or two people versus where there are 100 or 200 that are united together by the Holy Ghost. Some have spent years of their lives staying home with Wednesday night and Sunday night sickness. Yeah, I know it's strange, but these sicknesses only strike on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Who can say? It's just strange how these things work, but they'll differ with you if you say that. And if they were here tonight, I'd hear about it tomorrow. I would. Because every time I brought it up, I've heard about it. And then others are told, well, he just doesn't love you. I do love you. The thing is, I love you more than you love you. Come on. If I love my child and my child is doing things that are wrong, I'm going to tell my child. Because I love them. Some have spent years of their lives staying home on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights with Wednesday night and Sunday night sickness, whatever that might be. And maybe they can fool their loved ones and get them to believe that they are being martyred when those things are said across the pulpit. But they are being disobedient to the word, because the word says, are there any sick or afflicted among you? Have the elders anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So if you want to play that Sunday night sickness, Wednesday night sickness, come and get prayed for. Well, there's no compassion for my Sunday night and Wednesday night sickness. An obedient Christian would get prayed for. An obedient Christian would get delivered. An obedient Christian would ask for deliverance from that rebellious spirit while they're at it. What that is, friends, in the church, and I'm preaching this because if it comes through the church again, I'm not tolerating it. Not for a moment. That is a passive-aggressive demon. That is a demon that won't face you one-on-one, but it'll go behind your back and sow discord. It's passive aggression. It's passively, here's what it's doing. It's passively expressing aggression to the word. It's not the preacher. Come on, friends. It's passive aggression towards the word. And the preacher will be the one that's attacked. Shoot the messenger. Shoot the mailman. But it's the word that's being challenged. And the body of Christ is united with that word. And the body of Christ will therefore never knowingly fight against that word. Oh, we'll do it ignorantly, but we'll learn. But we'll never knowingly do it. Come on, friends. This thing has been watered down so... It's been reduced, you know, the bar has been let down, the goats have come in and taken over. And it's been watered down to the point that everything's being called the same. It's not. So just follow this line of thinking here for a moment. Just sitting at home and listening to tapes when there's a living church of the living God that you can go to will never produce the same thing in that home that it will produce in the church. Well, why is that? The atmosphere is not the same. That was the prayer tonight. Boldness and atmosphere. The atmosphere is not the same. The anointing is not on the airwaves that are produced from the tape machine any more than the anointing is on the airwaves that go out on the internet. Now, you may not believe it, but it's true. God never promised to anoint a mechanical device. God never promised to preach the gospel through a mechanical device. Well, how dare you say that, Brother Doug? How dare you say I can't be anointed when I listen to a tape or stream of service? I didn't say that. You're not listening. What I said is the anointing that goes out across the building where there is a body that is gathered in unity to hear the anointed word is not the same over the internet or the tape machine. Of course, there's an anointing upon the Holy Ghost-filled believer that feeds on the word as it comes forth, whether in person or whether streaming or whether listening to a recording. Of course, there will be an anointing on a Holy Ghost-filled believer that reads their Bible. Of course, there will be an anointing on a Holy Ghost-filled believer when they pray. And they will benefit from it, which we all do. But we aren't talking about the anointing that's only on the individual. We're talking about the anointing that goes forth when God's servants preach the word with boldness and with power and with demonstration. And if he's preaching to sinners, listen closely, and none of them are filled with the Holy Ghost, obviously, But somehow that anointing that he's preaching with comes over and convicts that sinner of their sin. Now, how are they going to get that anointing without the preacher? They're not. How can someone repent except someone be sent? It's not a seminar for them. It's the anointed word that goes forth in power and demonstration to change them. I listen, and I'll keep listening. And I pray, and I pray, and I pray, and I pray, and I'll keep praying. But many times, when I listen and hear, I think, as I'm listening to something, I'll think, oh, what an atmosphere there was in that meeting. Are we listening tonight? Oh, did you hear that? You can hear the Spirit moving through the congregation. You can hear it moving through the building. You can hear the sound of a rushing mighty wind. Now, is it the same when you hear that as it would be if you were in that meeting? No. Of course not. I should get 150 amens tonight out of all 70 of you. Would it be the same? Of course not. Is it the same listening to a recording as it is being in that service? No. Is there benefit to the recording? Absolutely. Does it replace the church? Absolutely not. There's something about us. There's a lot of things that we can't explain that we won't understand better till we're over on the other side, but we trust God. There's something about us coming together to worship the Lord together and to fellowship together around the living word. And because we are born again of the Spirit in us longs for the times that we can come together and join those licks of fire together. And the times when we have an ox in the ditch, which those things do happen, and we understand that. The times that we are sick and can't come to church, we have those times. We wish we could be here, but we aren't here. And what it causes us to do is appreciate the times that we do have to come together just that much more. Amen. If we were to sit and listen to a recorded service or stream a service, we certainly are blessed. And we are thankful that we're able to do so. But if we're able to attend a service in person, there's a greater kenosis of God. There's a greater presence. There's a greater measure of the Spirit that is in that service than there is when we're alone. How many knows that's true? And if anybody tries to tell you otherwise, then they are going against what the Word itself declares to be the truth. When the day of Pentecost came, what if they had technology like we have today, and instead of gathering together in one place until they were all together in one mind and one accord, what if they all just stayed home and streamed? You think there would have been a day of Pentecost? Absolutely not. I mean, they were all together and one pillar of fire came down and divided itself into licks of fire. Would that have happened if they weren't there? No. It vindicated what we know to be the truth. How many times have you been in a service when you heard somebody being blessed, or you saw the Spirit moving through the building, touching somebody, and you were challenged? And you said, what about me, Lord? Friends, I can't tell you how many times that's happened with me. You mean to tell me that the same thing would have happened at home? Probably not. Where more believers of the body are together in unity, there's more of His presence in their midst. It's a law. There's something about proximity with that presence. In fact, there's even something about where these brothers and sisters are sitting here tonight. They're actually sensing something at a greater level than maybe some of you. I know we all have comfort zones, and right? I know sometimes we have complexes, and if we have complexes, we'll want to maybe sit where we can make sure we don't draw attention to ourselves or whatever, right? And you think, well, if I sit up there, he's going to call me Brother Tony like he talks about Brother Henry all the time. Brother Henry loves that. I never asked him, but he does. I've had people around the world ask about Brother Henry. Henry, Brother Henry, go start the car. Go get my keys. They're in the desk drawer. I'm going to have to get out of here quick. There is something about proximity. Look, I'm trying to upset you a little tonight. Get you out of your comfort zone. What if somebody else was preaching here tonight? What if the church age messenger was preaching? What row would you be sitting in? Well, just saying. What if Paul was here? Where would you be at? Now, if you could say you'd be right where you're at, well, okay, I'm fine with that. And no criticism. But if you could say something different, right? There is something about proximity, or else people wouldn't sit up front. You go to a football game. Where does everybody want to sit? Oh, they want to sit way up there. No, they don't. No. They want to sit up front. And ask them if they get more out of the service. I mean, out of the game. They do. In fact, they're sitting up there where the people are just doing all these crazy things with pom-poms and running around. And they're responding back. And they're getting all pumped up. They're about ready to shave their head and go running through the team. They're up there screaming and yelling. They may not be the emotional type, but somehow they become emotional at the game. Sports fans know this more than church members do. Now, if you're comfortable where you're at, please keep sitting where you're at. But if you're sitting there because you're trying to avoid something, scoot on up. Come up a little closer. Well, why doesn't your wife sit up front? Because she doesn't want everybody to hear her sometimes being the only one to say amen. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter where you sit. Well, I've got y'all upset now, right? There's going to be a vote afterwards. I know you want this. That's the wonderful part. The wonderful part is to know this is true. And to know that you're among people that want to hear the truth. It's not always easy. God takes my hide off all the time. Right? But I'm thankful for it. When we meet God in our prayer closet, He's there. When we read our Bibles, He's there. When we pray with our loved ones, He's there. But when we come together as a body in unity, there's more of His presence and more of His power that's created when we come together than there is when we're separate. And then there will come a sweep over the entire earth one day, friends. That's going to bring the entire body of Christ, wherever they're at, into the power of that unity. And that very same Holy Spirit that works in each local body is working in each and every other local body and is doing the very same work to bring each one to maturity. Many times there are things that are preached over in Timbuktu and you find out, wow, that's just what we were hearing. Or a minister will come and preach something that you just heard it in the local church and it's just driven down. You know, it's the same spirit. It's the same spirit that's bringing that unity, and it's the same unity that's bringing the power into the church, and it's bringing each local body into maturity. The mind of Christ working through every local body to bring the same unity of the faith. And it's not a headquarters that's over here or over there that's directing the body tonight. It's the Holy Spirit that's directing each and every local body. And we have confidence in that tonight. And excuse me, friends, but it's not one man picking out a tape for us all to listen to at the same time either, so that he can pre-filter what the guy on the tape is saying and say we're having church. The guy on the tape never said that. Hallelujah. There must be unity on the earth in the mystical body before the power of the resurrection can ever be manifested in its fullness. And that's what we're waiting on. That's what we're waiting on. If there's a unity that's coming upon the people of the world that's being caused by a last day anointing that's over an entire age, then what about the unity that's taking place in another body that's under another last day anointing? Come on, friends. There has to be a sin anointing that is so heavy, and it must be released on the people of this world to bring them into unity. And that must be there. Listen closely now. That anointing must be upon the earth so that the full anointing of the Holy Spirit can then be released on the body of Christ. That has to be released, so this is released. Until it brings the dead in Christ into this dimension in glorified bodies. It's going to take unity to do that. Oneness. One mind, one accord. There must come a time, friends, when it is so sinful outside of those doors, so sinful, so full of sin, that a full anointing of the power of the Holy Ghost is then released inside these doors. The law of contrast. Such that sin cannot come in through those doors. There must be a spirit of perversion in this last day. A spirit of Sodom to anoint people to live like Sodomites. So that when they come to complete unity under the power of that spirit, it will release the very power of hell to bring hell into this dimension. And it will release that power in every facet of the world, in politics, in religion, in the economies of the world, every aspect. And there will be power in that unity. If something supernatural, on the other hand, gets a hold of sons and daughters of God, and let's say that one differs from another in one way or another, which we do, but we realize we have the same goal. We realize we have the same spirit, and we can discern that. We realize we have the same motive. We realize we have the same objective, the same goal, and we unite ourselves together. Won't that power be released into the body to change even our mortal bodies? Friends, there's a greater power yet to come. But what holds the key to that is unity. Oneness. One mind, one accord. One of us might be more emotional than the other. So what? Who cares? That's never been the issue. One of us might have this temperament. One of us might have that temperament. But moving beyond all of that, friends, if we have the same motive, if we have the same objective, if we have the same Holy Spirit, if we are united together, won't that power be released to fulfill God's word? That His word that promised to produce another book of Acts here in the end time? And more? We should worship God now like we will on the other side. Because when you leave this dimension, you're just changing your dwelling place. You'll still be who you are. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You say, oh, if I could just be before the throne, I'd worship him. You are before the throne. Worship him. Well, he's not here. He is here. He's absolutely here. And he deserves our worship. And he deserves our praise. And he deserves our honor. We just need some help to get over ourselves and get out of the way and let God have his. Friends, there's not a person in here tonight that doesn't enjoy a good Holy Ghost filled meeting. You say, well, I've never been in one. You'll enjoy it. I guarantee you. Hallelujah. There will be a supernatural unity created on the earth by the Holy Spirit, and it will produce a rapture. It's not something that any other power can do. It's not something I can work up. It's not something an organization can work up. It's not something, it's not mind over matter. It's not something you can try to do. It's what the Holy Spirit will do. Amen. And it will be done on earth as it is already done in word and vision in heaven. Where there's unity, there's power. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. You know, they say at the sporting events, you know, they'll get the cheerleaders up there to, you know, we can't do that at church because you're just trying to work people up and it's carnal and this and that and the other. But the sports world, they've got people to try to work you up. You say, well, Brother Baker, why do you want to work us up? Well, sometimes we don't, not a work up, but get out of yourself. Let go and let God. But, you know, nobody wants to be the first one. People don't go to the game and just start shouting. Right? Something's got to kind of break them loose a little bit, kind of get them to go team go. And before the game is over, they're doing things that the wife's looking and think, man, I never seen my husband do that before. Man, he is in the spirit. Wow. I didn't know he had all that emotion in him. Who is that man in my husband's body? Yeah, they work you up, right? The cheerleaders grab them, what, pom-poms and just, you know, we got spirit. Yes, we do. We got spirit. How about you? Right? Oh, well, you're not going to outdo us. At least they're honest. They're being filled with spirits. Come on. Oh, but we don't want that at church. Well, people are filled with spirits whether they want it or not. So the other team goes, oh yeah, all right guys, don't let us be undone. Then their pom-poms start going up and their cheerleaders start shouting and they get their side all worked up. You know, there's something that's even... It's a proven fact that the home team has an advantage. Because the home team is going to show up and support, generally speaking. The home team, the people are going to show up to support their home team and get behind them more than the visiting team. And that's enough to change the game when they're all together in one spirit. I wonder how many Super Bowls and, you know, World Series or whatever it might be. I wonder how many of those events were won solely by having an advantage of support on one side that was greater than the other. Children go to a recital. When they go to a recital or they go to a graduation, I always feel sorry for the kids that, like me, that go to graduation and there's nobody shouting. Somebody else gets up and half the arena is just erupting. Go, Gonzalez! Yay! And people are just screaming and shouting. Imagine that must feel pretty good. Then there's the other one. Yay! Whatever your name is. They even mispronounce it. when we come to church, friends, we ought to be shouting for our team. Right? Go, preacher. Go. Go, preacher. Shake them. Preach it. Chase that devil. Run him out of the building. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Listen to this. Last one, when love is projected. I've noticed this, that each one of us, as sons and daughters of God, many times I've thought of Pentecost. There they said that they were all in one place and in one accord. That wasn't a Honda Civic. Okay, you'll get that when you go home. That was pretty funny. If you don't know what actually, it's a Honda Accord, right? Right. Little vehicle. You're not going to get all of us. That would be supernatural, right? For all of us to get into one Honda Accord. Well, it's about that supernatural to get us all together in one mind, in one accord, right? There they said they were all in one place and in one accord. Now, where there's unity, well, there's power. Then he just drops this in here. And then if we only knew that each one of us, in an amateur way, is a creator. The prayer was, let the atmosphere be here. Let boldness be here. Let us come boldly. Let the atmosphere. Who's creating that atmosphere? You brought your lick of fire.
Amen.
You are creating that atmosphere.
Amen.
Oh, that church was such a dud. Yeah, because you didn't create an atmosphere. Right? Right? Whose fault is it? If we come together with the right attitude, with the same purpose, with the same objective, there's no telling what can take place. There's no limits. Friends, there are needs. There have been needs in this body, and we've seen God take tumors away that were there, and scientific evidence said there were tumors, and the tumors were gone. There have been some that have been taken away by doctors, and then God's brought the healing. There's been all kinds of things that have taken place in this body, right, over the years. You come way, 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 way too late, right? All kinds of things. I've seen an eyeball formed right in front of me. I've seen hearing be, deafness be cured. I've seen the dead raised. I've seen bones healed right before my eyes. I've seen all kinds of healing take place that's even more miraculous because it requires you to hold on and believe when there's no evidence. I've seen plenty of that, right? But we're actually facing greater needs now as the hour gets later. Where's the power? Well, the power is potentially here if we can just get in one mind. You say, what part do I have in this body? What part do I play? When you're not here, we notice it. You add, every one of you. Every one of you is bringing your lick of fire. You say, well, I never say anything. You bring your lick of fire. You make the sacrifice of praise. Right? You come with one mind and one accord. You come with one purpose. And every one of you makes a difference. How many knows that's true? It's true in the natural. It's true in the spiritual. What if it turns out that everyone that receives a body change happens to be in a church service when it happens? Well, Brother Doug, are you saying that's how it's going to be? I never said that, but what if it was? What if it's where everybody's together in one mind and one accord? You say, but it's dark on one side of the earth, light on the other side. I don't care. God can do whatever he wants. I'm not saying that it'll be that way, so don't leave the church saying that I said that. But I know that some of the most anointed times that I've ever had as a born-again Christian believer of this message has been when I'm in a service where the atmosphere is turned into a bonfire. Come on.
Amen.
God has done plenty in my private walk, and he will continue to do plenty in my private walk. But some of the greatest experiences of that anointing that I've ever experienced has been in the bonfire of a church service. And that's not a coincidence. It's been when I've been in a service where the atmosphere is turned into a bonfire. Everybody putting their lick of fire into the ring. Some people will come to church to pick at this or pick at that, and they will sure find plenty to pick at. And we can come and we can focus on how tired we are, and we can come and we can wish that we were somebody else, somewhere else, or we can complain that there's not a clock that we can turn back and look at. And look at the clock and then look at the pastor. Or we can be somebody that was raised wrong, that only come to find fault with the pastor so that they can then keep bouncing from church to church because there's no pastor that's any good. People that have been trained to correct their pastor but never receive correction from the word themselves. And that's their big complaint. Well, he's always bringing correction. Oh, they won't say it that way. They'll say, he's always bringing up something that has to do with me. Right? Well, you ought to say, God loves me. Wow. And Lord, help me to get right. So, you know, wouldn't that be the solution? Quit doing it. Isn't it? People are going to judge themselves on that day. They're so smug in saying, he's always bringing up what I've done wrong. Well, you just admitted that that's your problem then. Right? But the person next to you says, well, he called me an eagle. Right? Come on. How many knows that's true? Well, I'm feeling picked on. We'll say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You're going to leave here one of three ways. Sad, mad, or glad. Sad, mad, or glad. It's up to you. I choose to leave happy. We can do that as we're closing now. We can do that, or we can come and say, you know what, I'm tired too. I can't tell you how many times I've come to church and I've worked and I've studied and I've had no time and I'm tired. But I came anyway. You know, actually, some of you know that. Some of the greatest services we've ever had is when I was so tired that I let go. That's right. I didn't worry about what the people are going to think or say. You say you do that? You try not to. You sure try not to. We can come and say, you know what? I'm tired too, but I came to get my portion. Or my back hurts so bad that I can hardly raise my hand. And I've had a rough time at school, or I've had a rough time at work, but I'm here anyway. I've come tonight to hear the word of the Lord. I've come to unite with people that have the same goal, that have the same light, precious faith. I've come to be changed. I've come to benefit from the bonfire that we are building tonight. Because we've come to build a bonfire. We haven't come to lay a little, tiny little something and put it out. We've come to heap up a bonfire. I've come to be changed, even if it's just a little bit. I've come to receive power in my life to face the things that are coming against me. I've come to be united with the body. I've come to be united with others that are hearing this word. I've come to see the power of God move through the body. And I will not be denied. I've come to worship God. I've come to hear His word. I've come to praise Him. I've come to see the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I've come to witness change taking place in the body. And if I come, if my whole purpose in being here tonight is to create an atmosphere for my brother or my sister that's in need, they made their request known. It's life or death. If all I'm here for is for them, it's worth it. Because we're a part of that very same body. And they need this power that will only come through unity, through oneness. I will not leave this building the same way I came in. I will be changed by the power of this unity. I will be changed by the power that's in this building tonight. And if I need electric shock treatment to set my mind right, God will bring the power of God into the service. Come on. I believe He can do that tonight. If you need to be struck by lightning, so let it be done. Come on, friends. If a power has to strike me tonight to force my mind and to force my body to submit to the Word of God, I'm here tonight, Lord. Bring it on. Hallelujah. I will not come under that Antichrist spirit. I will not come under that anointing that tears down, that destroys others, that challenges constantly, that comes against His servants, that comes against the church, that comes against the body of Christ. I will not be part of that. I will not yield my body. I will not yield my spirit to that anointing. I will lay myself on the altar of God and I will stay there. I will die out until my body's changed. Come what may. I'm not looking for excuses for not uniting with the portion of the body that God has placed me in. God has placed me in this church. This is my part of the body. I'm connected with this part of the body. And we are one. One mind, one accord. If there are needs in the body will take care of those needs. If there are prayer requests, we will all enter into one another's suffering and pray. Whatever the need might be, we will join our licks of fire together. If someone needs encouragement, we'll put our shoulder behind them. If somebody needs deliverance, we'll pray until they get delivered. But we will not yield to any other spirit. This is my church. This is my portion of the body. Say it tonight. This is my church. This is my church. This is my part of the body. This is where God has placed me. I will be united with this part of the body. And the power of God will flow through this part of the body. And ultimately will change this part of the body. And it's our power and it's our unity and it's our purpose. Hallelujah. I will be a channel for that power to flow through. I will be a channel for the Holy Spirit to work through. I will be a part of the body of the living God. I will be a part of that oneness, that unity that Jesus prayed for, that will be in this body, that will bring this body together and bring it from one dimension into another. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Hallelujah. I will. Amen. Thank you, God, for placing me in a body. Thank you, God, for placing in that body what I need. Thank you for my brother. Thank you for my sister. Thank you for every part of this body. Because it's your body that you've allowed me to be a part of. Amen. And I will not be denied. I've come to get what I have need of. I've come to contribute what others have need of. I've come to be a part of the body of Christ. I've come to unite with the greatest of purposes, with the greatest of goals, with the greatest motive and objective. I've come to be a part of this mystical body that Jesus Christ will have the preeminence in, that will take this body off the earth in a body change. Friends, do you realize they're waiting for us? Those on the other side, they're just waiting for us. I truly believe with all of my heart, it will take the fullness of unity in this body on the earth that will allow them, it'll free them to come into this dimension and pick up bodies. Because there can't be any marks against this. There can't be any charge laid against God's elect. Right? There can't be anything that would hinder them from coming. No marks. The title deed would have to be searched all the way back to the beginning. They would have to come to the place of recognition that they did not do it in the beginning. Amen? They're sinless. They're blameless. They're spotless. Amen. And therefore, the dead in Christ can come back and pick up bodies. It's going to take a greater oneness and a greater unity. It could happen tonight. This is not out of reach. We've all experienced it. We've all been in services that just exceeded anything that we ever thought. And we know that it wasn't us. It was just letting go. It was expectation. It was surrendering. It was repenting. It's not carrying aught in our hearts against different ones. Right? It's us just all trusting in the very same one. Amen. To do what it is that he said he would do. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, I pray that you take this chopped up message. You know what's on my heart, Lord. And I know that you put it on my heart. And Lord, you vindicate these things over and over. And there are other vindications we won't talk about tonight. But there are other vindications that you bring to us and that you give to us, Lord. And I've served you long enough, Lord, to know that when you put something on my heart, that obedience is better than sacrifice. That, Lord, you will vindicate it. And you will fulfill it. And it's not something that's brought in word only. But, Lord, if I'll bring it the way that you've placed it on my heart, it'll produce what you sent it to do. I believe that with all my heart, Lord. So, Lord, there's no big eyes here. There's no little yous. We're all in the same place, Lord. We all stand together as your children. And it's our desire, Lord, for you to have preeminence in this body. It's our desire, Lord, for that oneness to exist to the place, Lord, that you can do whatever it is that you want to do, that you desire to do, that you can vindicate your word amongst us. Father, drive out all unbelief, I pray. Father, drive out. I take charge over every funny spirit that would try to hinder. There's nobody here that's given a home to these spirits, but these spirits hang around. These spirits try to find a way to work their way in. I bind every demon that would come against this body in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we refuse you tonight. We resist you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we tell you, you're not welcome here. We tell you that your place is out there somewhere where your army is arrayed. But this is a tabernacle that's been set aside. We realize that each one of us is a tabernacle for the living God. Each one of us are vessels that the Holy Spirit tabernacles in. But we've set aside this property as well for use for the kingdom of God. We just want you to know that you're not welcome. So when you come and try to anoint us, when you come and try to affect our thinking, when you come and try to bring confusion, we resist you. And we're here for one purpose. We're here for one objective, one motive. We're here to see the oneness that the Holy Spirit brings in the body of Christ. We're here for the mind of Christ to have preeminence from the pulpit to the back door. In each and every, we're here to see a body move. We're here to see Christ moving and breathing and dwelling in a many-membered body, each part contributing to the needs of the whole. We're here to see the power of God released, the power that's in that word, released by the unity that's taking place in this body. And we will not be denied. That's our purpose. That's our motive. That's our objective. And we will see this take place in this body by God's grace, by His Spirit, by His power. Not by our power, but by His Spirit, saith the Lord. I pray that You bless each and every one. Lord, move upon each and every heart. We thank You, Lord, that Your Word does cut, but we know that Your Word also heals. We're thankful, Lord. We know that Your motive and objective when You bring, when Your Word does cut, is to take something from us that's harmful, hurtful, something that's wrong, a wrong idea, a wrong teaching, a wrong thought, something that's hindering Your Word. And Lord, it's to set us free so that Your Word can have the preeminence in us that You desire to have in our body. Lord, what would have taken place if when You were fighting Your greatest battle, You were in a garden and You were praying, but You brought Your disciples along with You. And they were there, they were praying. We know that eventually they fell asleep and You went and woke them up and said, "What, can't You pray with Me for a certain period of time?" But Lord, You didn't tell them to just stay home and pray for You. They were there where You were at. And they were supposed to be entering into Your suffering and praying with You, showing, Lord, that it's... And I believe, Lord, that they may not have... Certainly, they didn't fully realize what was taking place. But I believe that even in that it made a difference. Lord, Your messenger told us that the success of His meetings were the people back home that were praying. Praying for the success of those meetings. They had a part in it. Lord God, Lord, we want to see Your Word manifested, Lord, according to Your Word. And we want You to receive all honor and all glory. Lord, we see the division. We see the world getting darker and darker and sin heaping up. At the same time, Lord, we're told it shall be light. So that light should be getting brighter and brighter. And Lord, the power that's in this body, it has to be greater even than the power that was in the early church, because the power that's coming into this body will actually change our mortal bodies. We realize it'll be Your Spirit, but that's always true. It'll be Your Spirit that quickens it. It'll be the fullness of Your Spirit in a body that says, now is the time. And it'll be Your Spirit that brings the power into the body, but it'll be this body nonetheless. It'll be portions of Your body, just like this one. Some with more, some with less. According as Your predestinated plan, You knew that You'd plant some seed here and some seed there. And you knew that You'd move some seed from this place to that place. You were on top of all of it before the world began. And You know what word to send. And You know what it'll take, Lord, to bring that oneness and that unity. So, Lord, we surrender to You tonight. And it's our desire, Lord, above all, to see You have preeminence in the body. To see the power of the Holy Spirit moving, the power of the Word moving in this local body. Lord, to see lives set free, to see sinners brought to Calvary, to see people filled with the Holy Ghost, to see restitution, to see healing, deliverance, whatever it is that we have need of. And there's many needs in this body, Lord. Father, we don't want to look at any need and say, well, nobody understands for sure. We want to look at every need and say, God, all things are possible to them that believe. So, Lord, maybe there isn't one of us that has faith for a particular thing that's sufficient. But, Lord, if everyone united their faith together in one purpose, one mind, one accord, Lord, and allowed Your Spirit to bring that unity, surely that would be enough. If one will chase 1,000 and two will chase 10,000, what'll 100 or 200 do? Father, we saw what took place in the early church, the acts of the Holy Spirit in the church. We've come to the Omega time where that very same power is back in a body once again. We would see Jesus once again, living and breathing and walking, doing the things that you said that you would do, proving that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We love you, Lord. We surrender to you. Father, I pray that we know that the word cuts. I pray that the word would bring healing as well tonight, Lord. I pray that each and every one would recognize the tender hand of Jehovah moving and breathing and addressing each and every one of us, Lord, for one purpose, to bring us all together in oneness and unity so that you can have preeminence in the body. Grant it, Lord. Father, I believe that great things are in store. I believe that you've been placing pieces together over the years and bringing a maturity. And Lord, we've had so much more time than even the early church had from the very beginning. I believe that that maturity is right around the corner, and I believe the power could come at any time. If we just set everything else aside, every other thought, every other care, we know that we have to occupy until you come, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about wanting your will to be done in this body above anything else. And putting you first, Lord. Putting others first. Knowing, Lord, that all these other things will be added unto us. That's how it works. Won't you grant it tonight, Lord? Father, if we're lacking vision tonight, give us that vision. If we've set our sights too low, let us line our sights up with your word. Let our vision match your vision. Lord, of a church marching to the onward Christian soldier, a church that's in line, a church that's lined up, each one in their position, each one in a procession, dressed right, arrayed right, surrendered, marching to the same music in unity and oneness. Father, until these bodies are changed and we move from this dimension into that other dimension, won't you grant it tonight, Lord? Bless each and every one. Encourage each and every one to pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. We give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to sing that song. That's a wonderful song there, but I would not be denied. Do we have that? That's it. Yep. I used to have it in the red book, and I think I got the words written out. Oh, look at that. When pangs of death seized on my soul, unto the Lord I cried, till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. No, I would not be denied. I said I would. I wrestled with the Lord, and instead with my courage born, I stood upon His word. Amen. And I would not be denied. I said I would not be denied till Jesus came and He made me. I would not be denied. Old Satan said my Lord was gone and would not hear my prayer. He's a liar, but praise the Lord, the work is done. said I would.